I don't know how long we've been doing the scripture reading before the sermon. I'd say 20 years, John. Anybody? I've never heard this verse read before a sermon. So, little spicy, Hosea chapter 1, verse 2. We'll see where Kyle goes from here. The beginning of the word of the Lord by Hosea. And the Lord said to Hosea, go take thee a wife of whoredom and children of whoredom, for the land hath committed great whoredom, departing from the Lord. Well, good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
Good to see each and every one of you. We're always thankful for the opportunities we have to be with one another, to worship God in spirit and in truth. Always thankful for all those that serve in all the different capacities. It doesn't work without us working together as all parts of the body of Christ together. Just some general announcements and thoughts before I get too far into the lesson or anything like that. Don't forget about Saturday, December 11th here at 11 o'clock for the basket. Certainly any of our young people can come and help out as we put those together. Don't forget about the church update sheet. We're at the point where now Terry and I are just hunting down the people that we think are missing. But if there's anyone that you think might have been left out that we need their contact information, please grab one of those slips and fill it out, and we will add them to our kind of contact list that we are working on. With that being said, under the approval of the elders, Terry kind of taking the lead, we're going to try to start a card group. And we're going to kind of have an interest meeting next Sunday morning after services. We'll remind you of that next week. But not trying to give all away, but just trying to give you enough interest to be interested in the interest meeting, you know, next Sunday. But really what we're looking at is Terry is going to kind of be leading that group, and we're very thankful for that. And that group will meet once a month, and what will happen is Terry, being the card leader, he'll give out a few assignments of people that we think should receive cards. And we think that'll be a good, encouraging work. We think it's a work that a lot of people could be involved in. You know, we have a lot of people that are helping out as Bible class teachers, but this is like another opportunity, another avenue that you can get involved in the congregation. There are many works of the church, and some of them we do individually. We think about giving, right? We give individually, but there are some opportunities that come where the church as a whole gives. And that's kind of the way that we're viewing the cards as well. You think of evangelism. We evangelize as individuals. But there are certain opportunities that the church is presented with where the church as a whole will perhaps support an evangelist. The way we're looking at the cards is we don't want to cut anyone off and write an individual card. But we're thinking of this as the church, as the body of Christ, we as a family, looking out for one another, supporting one another, and going that direction. So just kind of keep that in mind. We're thankful for Terry and all the work he's been doing behind the scenes on that. And we're hoping that moving forward, that can be something that will benefit many individuals and help the church as a whole in different ways. So just keep that in mind. If you mind, if you turn over to the book of Hosea, I'll probably say Hosea at some point. I don't know where that got into my head, but I will say probably that at some point. But Hosea chapter 1, we're really going to focus on the first three chapters. This has actually been the Tuesday class. And as we've been going through this minor prophet, there's just been so many thoughts that have been circling around my mind. And I just thought, you know what, I really need to get my head wrapped around this even more so. I don't typically do this with the Bible class, but I've just been thinking about it so much. It's really just become a life of its own in my own mind as I think about the situation. So let's dig into the book of Hosea, see what's going on in this situation, and let's see what lessons we can take away from this book. So Hosea is a minor prophet, and he is going to be preaching, teaching to really primarily the northern kingdom of Israel. The northern kingdom of Israel, particularly at this time, although it could be taken as Israel as just a whole unit, Israel has really turned away from God. They are worshiping false gods, They're trying to bribe the Egyptians. They're trying to bribe the Assyrians. They're trying to make all these worldly pacts. And they think that all this is going to put them in good standing. But really, as they do all of this, they slowly are walking away from God. As they negotiate with these other cultures, we start to see that they are worshiping false gods. More false gods by the day. It's almost as they are forgetting God. And actually, really, I think the core message that's trying to come out from the prophet Hosea is that the children of Israel are actually cheating on God. You're supposed to be in a relationship with God, and by worshiping these false gods, they're really cheating on God. They should be in a relationship with God, but really they're just running around, and they're cheating, and they're not being faithful at all. And that's where we have that verse 2 come into effect. I can't give you 100% answer. I can't put myself in God's situation. But throughout the book of Hosea, we have a great parallel throughout the book. And what the great parallel is we have Hosea, which is a prophet. And God tells him to basically marry a prostitute, Gomer, a harlot, a wife of whoredom. God tells one of his prophets to marry a prostitute or a harlot. And there's a parallel that's set up, because if you look at verse 2, he's saying, I want you to do this because you know what my people are going to make? Basically what your wife is about to do to you is my people are cheating on me. My people are not being faithful to me. So we have Hosea and his wife, and God tells him to marry a prostitute, and a lot of people will dig into this situation, and we don't have time to explore all of it. But I think Hosea, why does he do it? He does it to obey God. And a lot of people point out, well, is God really asking Hosea to sin? I don't believe so. Underneath the Old Testament, there would be no violation of him marrying a prostitute. The only person that would be that this would be an issue with would be a priest, based off Leviticus chapter 21 and verse 7. So God tells Hosea to marry a prostitute, and he says, you know what? This is a lot like me and my relationship with my people, with Israel. I'm supposed to be in a relationship with Israel. I'm supposed to be in a relationship with God's people, but they're just running around and cheating. And God gives this really strange command to Hosea to marry a wife of whoredom, a wife of harlotry. And I think he sets this up, although I can't put myself 100% in God's position, but I think this is really going to make Hosea a more powerful prophet, because he's really going to feel what God is saying. Because God's going to say, you're cheating on me. You're cheating on me with these other gods. You're cheating on me with these other customs and cultures and all these things. You're cheating on me. And when Hosea preaches that, he's really going to have that pain, because he has a wife that is not being faithful to him. So that's kind of some of the backstory. We're going to get into chapters 1, 2, and 3. And the one thing that I really took out is I really was looking into this and trying to dig into this, is the connection between faithfulness and thankfulness. I think the more thankful we are as a people, the more faithful we will be. I think the less thankful we are as a people, the more likely we are to be unfaithful. I think we see it with Gomer, and I think we also see it with the children of Israel. And we cannot forget that parallel as we go through the story. Hosea has married a prostitute. She's going to be unfaithful throughout the marriage. And we have God, who's in a relationship with his people, God's people, and his people are running off and feeding on him at every opportunity. So let's try to dig into the text. We're not going to read all of it, but we're going to try to hit some of those spots. We see that command in verse 2. Hosea, go take for yourself a wife of whoredom and have children of whoredom, for the land has committed great whoredom for forsaking the Lord. Hosea, you're going to marry a harlot because I am in a relationship right now with a harlot. My people, God's people, are cheating on me. The first thing we see is unfaithfulness. Hosea and Gomer are married, and we see in chapter 1 they start having children. And we're not going to go through all those children, but the children's names literally mean God has scattered, no mercy, and you are not my people. God tells them to name these children, and these children really reflect how God is feeling towards his people. He's going to scatter the people, he's going to not have mercy on the people for a period of time, and he's going to say that you're not my people. Well, why is God going to say that the children of Israel are not his people? Because they're cheating on him. They're being unfaithful. So Hosea and Gomer enter this relationship and they start having children. And it appears, particularly the third child, what the child that's named basically No Emini, which means you are not my people, it appears that some of these children are not Hosea's. That Gomer is being unfaithful. She's going around and she is not really respecting the marital relationship. She's going here, there, everywhere to all these different lovers, and she is not being faithful to Hosea. And we really see that in chapter 1. As we see the children of the relationship, and we see some of those things that are happening. In chapter 2, I'm sure Hosea reached out to his wife. And I'm sure he reached out and he pleaded with her individually and said, please stop cheating on me. Please be faithful to me. Please stop running around. And you know what? This is the same thing God has been trying to do with Israel for years and years and years. It said, be faithful. Don't take up these false gods. Don't take up these other cultures and customs that are not going to lead you into things that we know are good and right. They're going to lead you astray. In chapter 2, he even asked his kids to go and talk to Gomer. I'm sure he pleaded with her individually, but in chapter 2 and verse 2, he asked his children to talk to mother, to talk to mom. If you look at chapter 2 and verse 2, it says, plead with your mother, plead, for she is not my wife, and I am not her husband, that she put away her whoring from her face and her idolatry from between her breasts. She's not being faithful. And we have a great picture and a great parallel that the children of Israel are not being faithful to God. And there's something that goes deeper than that, I think, when we consider this. When we are unfaithful to God, not only are we breaking the command of God, but we're also breaking God's heart. Can we not say that Hosea's heart was broken every time that his wife was unfaithful? Can we not say that God's heart was broken every time the children of Israel said, we're going to worship a false god. We don't care about you, God. We don't need you, God. Did that not break God's heart every time? Unfaithfulness was sin. Hosea, I'm sure, talked to his wife, but he tells his children, please, plead with your mother. Plead with your mother to not do this. And we can certainly see that she is not being faithful. And the question that comes into my mind, which really connects to the title of the lesson, is why is she being unfaithful? Question, are you cheating on God? This idea is really carried throughout Scripture, is that when we are unfaithful to God, when we sin against God, we are cheating on God. Spiritual idolatry. If you look in the New Testament in James chapter 4 and verse 4, it says, you adulterous people. I mean, basically, what does that say? You cheating people. Well, what is it talking about, James chapter 4 and verse 4? It says, you adulterous people. Do you not know that friendship with the world is enmity with God? Therefore, whoever wishes to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God. Are you cheating on God? Are you going to places that God does not want you to go? Are you involved in things that God doesn't want you to be involved in? Are you being faithful to God? Or are you running around on God? You're waiting until you don't think He's looking. You wait until you don't think He's paying attention. And you go and you do that which you should not do. See, the Bible, I don't think, paints the middle ground. The Bible says on occasion you're either for me or against me. The Bible also says on other occasions you cannot serve two masters. In Matthew chapter 7 verses 13 and 14 it says there's a narrow path and there's a broad path. We're either faithful or we're not. And that's sometimes hard for people. We're either faithful or we're not. And what I have found to be amazing over the course of time is that the religious world has tried to blur faithfulness. Question. Was Gomer faithful or not? Well, we can look at Gomer and say, well, she's cheating. She's running around. I don't know if she's being faithful. We can look at the children of Israel from our perspective and say, well, they're worshiping false gods. They're running around on God. They're doing all these things. Are they being faithful to God? We would say no. Can we look at ourselves and acknowledge perhaps when we're not being faithful, not doing those things which we should? Are you cheating on God? Let's go back to that question I just asked a few minutes ago. Why? Why? Why is Gomer cheating? You know, I think we get a little hint of that in chapter 2 and verse 5. Chapter 2 and verse 5 says, for their mother has played the whore, she has conceived them, and has acted shamefully. For she said, I will go after my lovers, who give me bread and water, my wool, my flax, my oil, and my drink. I'm not saying I have a perfect answer why Gomer is cheating and not being faithful, but when I read that, what is Gomer saying? He says, my lovers have everything that I need. My lovers, they give me everything that I need there in verse 5. They give me my bread. They give me my water. They give me my wool. They give me my flax. They give me my oil. They give me my drink. They give me all things. Is Gomer thankful for Hosea? Is Gomer appreciative of Hosea? When I read that statement, it's almost like she's saying, I don't need you, Hosea. I got everything with my lovers over here. I don't need you. I don't appreciate you. I'm not thankful for those things that you do because I don't think they come from you. I think they come from my lovers. Now, a few verses down, we're going to find out that the lovers are not providing any of it. Hosea is actually providing everything to her, but she's saying, oh, it's my lovers that are giving me all this. But actually, Hosea is giving her all things. Hosea is the one that's blessing her. Hosea is the one that's taking care of her. The lovers really aren't doing anything, but she thinks they are. I think Gomer perhaps is unthankful because he's not thankful. Have you ever thought that unthankfulness, no gratitude, not being appreciative, that could lead to you being unfaithful? Are you thankful for what God has done? Are you thankful for His sacrifice? Are you thankful for the blessings which He has bestowed? Because the moment that you stop being thankful for those things which God has given is the moment you start to drift away just like Gomer. I don't need you, God. I have all these things. But really, you can't stop and admit that those things actually are coming from God. When I think about that, where does her unfaithfulness come from? I think her unfaithfulness comes from really being unthankful, unappreciative, not really considering where her gifts are really coming from. You know, Israel was like that as well. They started saying, you know what? Baal is the one that's giving us all these things. Baal is the one that's blessing us. Baal is the one that is giving us all these things. These false gods, that's where we're getting all their blessings. That's not where they were getting their blessings from. Is it possible that we have the wrong mindset? That Gomer is not being thankful in areas that you should be thankful? Are you thankful in areas that you should be thankful? The children of Israel were not thankful in areas that they should be thankful. Are we thankful the way that we should? At times where we're not thankful for what God has done, those are the times that usually will drift away from our relationship with God. You know, I think about that. It's no wonder that many people are walking away from the Lord today. People are walking away from the Lord because they have a seed of unthankfulness, a seed of being unappreciative, a seed of not being grateful for the good things which God has done. And you think that can't happen? It happens all through time. It happens all through history. And perhaps you could say thankfulness is something that humans, as a general rule, we struggle with. You know, we think of Luke chapter 17. When we think about all those individuals that are healed, how many come back? One comes back. Perhaps thankfulness is a problem of humans. Perhaps we're not as thankful as we should. We're not as appreciative as we should. We take things for granted that we should not. How's your thankfulness? Because if you're not a thankful people, if you're not a thankful person, I believe it can lead into unfaithfulness. I think God tries to remind us of these things. I think He tries to remind us of these things in the assembly of the saints. When we sing songs to God, aren't we being thankful? When we pray to God, aren't we being thankful? When we partake of these emblems and we remember the sacrifice of our Lord, are we not have some tie, connection to thankfulness? God is trying to remind us, be thankful. And it will keep the relationship strong. Why did Gomer walk away? I believe she walked away because she didn't appreciate Hosea. But also, on another side of that coin, I think she walked away because she thought she could have everything that Hosea offered on the other side. And the way I would compare that to us is a lot of people want to have two things. And these things we have to think about. If people want security, but then they also want, many times, those worldly lusts to be satisfied. And you know what our religious world has caught that hook, line, and sinker, and they ran with it. Well, what do you mean they ran with it? They say, you can live a sinful life. You can do whatever you want, and you're still going to be secure. One saved, always saved. You'll be okay. I'll be okay. We'll all be okay. No worries, right? They want security, and they want sin. Well, you can't have both. And you're not going to have the blessings of Hosea if you run off and you do all these things and you're not faithful. You think Hosea is going to keep blessing you when you run off and you're not faithful? You think God is going to bless us if we run off and we decide we're not going to be faithful? The pattern is there. Hosea is going to take away some of his blessings. We're going to see that God is going to take some of his blessings away from the children of Israel because they're not thankful. Are we thankful? Are we thankful people? You think God wants a relationship with you that's once a week? How would you sound like that? Well, I'll be there. I'll be there on Monday. Monday's my day. I'm going to be there. I'm going to do everything I can for you on Monday. But all the rest of the week, I'm out. I'm not going to be there. Is that the relationship that God wants with you? Is that the relationship that Hosea wanted with his wife? Is that the relationship God wanted with the children of Israel? No, it is not. God wants us to be a faithful people. You know what's interesting? Chapter 2 and verse 7, it says, she shall pursue her lovers, but not overtake them. See, she's actually running after these lovers. She thinks they're going to give her security, but they're not going to give her security at all. You know what they really want? They want what they call many times the one-night stand. They don't want to take care of her. They don't want to give her bread. They don't want to give her water. They don't want to watch over her. They just want the quick pleasure of the world. That's what they want. It says she's going to run in verse 7. It says she shall pursue her lovers but not overtake them. You know that many people in the religious world, they're running out in the world and they're cheating on God and they say, you know what, I'm still going to have the security of God. I don't know if you're going to have the security of God running about like that. Being unfaithful on a consistent basis, knowing that you're going wrong and continuing to do it. You know, in the religious world, many times people run places that don't offer what they're seeking. Where's the salvation? Where's salvation come from? Acts chapter 4 and verse 12, there's salvation in no other name. But it seems like people want to run to other names, don't they? There's no other name under heaven by which we can be saved. Acts chapter 4 and verse 12. But we're not going to run to the name of Jesus, we're going to run to another name. It says all spiritual blessings are in Christ, but we're going to run somewhere else. It says the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, it talks about that in Philippians chapter 4 and verse 7. The peace of God. You can't run to some. You can't run to the world and get the peace of God. You got to run to God to get the peace of God. We see a picture in chapters 1 and 2 of unfaithfulness. And why is that unfaithfulness there? I believe because of unthankfulness. Not only because of unthankfulness, but also I believe that Jonah thinks he can get what God offers or what Hosea offers somewhere else. And let me tell you, there are some things that are not offered other places. Spiritual blessings are not offered any other place except for in Christ. Salvation is offered no other place except for Christ Jesus. It's offered no other place. Let's continue on with the story. So we have Hosea. He has these children. His wife is cheating on him. And we have this developing. He has his kids talk to him. And she says, you know what, Hosea? You're not doing anything for me. I'm just going to leave. My lovers will take care of me. Don't you worry. They'll take care of me. And you know what Hosea does in verse 8? He says, okay, I'm going to take back some of those things that I've been blessing you with. If you look at verse 8, it says, and she did not know that it was I who gave her the grain, the wine, the oil, and who lavished her on with silver and gold, which they used for Baal. Therefore, I will take back my grain in its time, and my wine in its season, and I will take away my wool, my flax, which were to cover her nakedness. Now, this goes to both. It's hard because you have to go at both stories. Is Hosea says, okay, you're going to run around. You're not going to do, I've tried to plead with you. You're not going to do what you're supposed to do. I'm going to take away the blessings, and then we'll see if that makes a connection. God does this with Israel too. He's like, oh, you think you can worship these false gods and I'm not going to protect you militarily and financially and all these things? Okay, I'm going to take those blessings away. It's interesting how this phrase, I'm going to take back my blessings, those blessings which were given. You know, you think about that. We had a discussion in our Tuesday class, and it's one that really got me thinking on all of these things, is when you think about thankfulness, how do you teach that to your kids? How do you teach thankfulness and gratitude to your kids? You know, I thought about that. We might have a pattern here in the scriptures. Is that when Hosea He's being ignored by his wife and everything. What does he do? He takes it away. When do you appreciate things in life? A lot of times when they're taken away. I'd say there's two primary places where you feel the most gratitude. When you've been given something that you know you didn't deserve, and it was when we think about becoming a Christian or perhaps the birth of a child, don't you feel extremely thankful in those situations? It's something that you didn't expect. You know that you're not entitled to such a thing, and it's given to you. You feel a maximum amount of gratitude there. And then also, you know when you also feel a lot of gratitude? When something's taken away. Have you thought about the loss of a loved one? And you think back, and you think, oh, I wish I would have just been a little bit more appreciative. I wish I would have been a little bit more thankful. There might be a little bit of a pattern here. And I'm not saying I'm perfect. I'm not saying that I'm a perfect parent or anything like that. But could there be a situation where taking something away from our kids might actually do them some good? It might teach them some appreciation, some gratitude. That's what he's doing with Israel. That's what Jose is doing with his wife. And I'm not saying we want to go to any extremes, but you look at it, it's like, I feel like that's a pattern that's being established. And you think about that for a second. What does God have to take away from you for you to be thankful? Does God have to take away the assembly of the saints for us to appreciate the assembly of the saints? Does God have to take away our health before we appreciate our health? Does God have to take away our home before we appreciate that? Does God have to take away our physical abilities before we appreciate that? What does God have to take away so that we would appreciate? Or what does God have to give? See, unfortunately, God's already done that, right? He's already fulfilled that part. What more could God give you? Salvation, eternal life, all spiritual blessings. What more can He give you? There's nothing more that He can give you. What does He have to do to wake you up? To get you to be thankful for those things which He has done. And I think that's what we have in verses 7 and 8 is a little bit of a wake-up call. Hey, you understand where your blessings are coming from? Are you thankful for where the blessings are coming from? Do you understand where your blessings come from? And certainly as Christians, we need to think about that. Can we say thank you for what God has given? Salvation, spiritual blessings, peace. In fact, James chapter 1 and verse 17 says, every good gift and every spiritual gift, every perfect gift is from above and comes down from the Father of light, from whom there is no variation or shadow of turning. He gives us all spiritual things. Not only that, God gives us all physical things. Acts chapter 17 and verse 25, God gives us life, breath, and all things. What does God have to give to you so that you'll appreciate Him? Well, the thing is, He's given us it all. He's given us everything that He could give. So then I think the harder question is what does He have to take away to get you to wake up? And say, I am thankful for that which you have done. I'm content with those things which I have. Because what I have, I am richly and bountifully blessed. In reality, this relationship that we're in with God, God doesn't need us, we need Him. And we need Him desperately. He provides everything that we need. In Psalm 103 and verse 2, it says, bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not His benefits. Have we forgotten the benefits of God? It looks like that's what Gomer did, is he forgot the benefits of God. He said, oh, my lovers will take care of that. And Israel's like, oh, don't worry, our treaties will take care of that. But really, it will not take care of that. You are going to run to a place that will not give you that which you need. And a lot of times in the religious world, people run out to the world, they will do all this cheating, they'll do everything that they want, and they say, you know what, I'm still going to have security, I'm still going to have the peace of God, I'm still going to have the spiritual blessings of God. Certainly we can come back. But there is a line of unfaithfulness, and it's one that we have to consider from time to time. I find it so interesting that we can spot it in situations in the Bible where we can't spot it in ourselves. And I think the religious world has constantly tried to drag us away from, you can't tell between faithfulness and unfaithfulness. Can you tell between Hosea and Gomer? Can you tell in the situation of God and the children of Israel? Then why can't we spot it in ourselves? Are we a thankful people and a faithful people? Or are we unfaithful and unthankful? You know, you think of that. We have Hosea. He's been cheated upon. And we start to see him doing a little bit of a separation as she tries to run off more and more and more. And in chapter 3, we find her in an interesting place. In chapter 3, it says, and the Lord said to me, go again, love a woman who is loved by another man and is an adulteress. Even as the Lord loved the children of Israel, though they turned to other gods and loved cakes of raisins, so I bought her for 15 shekels of silver and a homer of barley. And then Hosea is going to start talking to his wife. Although we don't have all the details on it, it almost looks like Hosea has ended up on almost like a slave block. And the price of a slave would actually be 30 shekels based off estimates. Now, I know there's a long period of time, but and if you go back, 30 shekels would be the full price of the slave. So now we're in Hosea's time, which I know there's time. Now he's paying 15. Why is he paying 15? You know why I think? No one wants to buy it. No one wants to buy Gomer. And you know what? When we realize that we are Gomer, perhaps that will help us with our thankfulness in relation to our spiritual lives. We were on the chopping block. We have sinned. We have fallen short of the glory of God. Really, we should bear the punishment, whatever that punishment is. And Jesus goes in the crowd and says, okay for that one. Wait, that one has no value. That one has sinned against you. That one has done great evil against you. And Jesus says, I'll buy him. That's what Jesus did for us. He said, I'll pay the fee, whatever it is. I'll buy your freedom. And you know what? When God buys our freedom, just like Hosea starts talking to his wife, what does he say to his wife? He says, I want you to be faithful. That's what I want. I'll buy you back. I'll pay whatever needs to be paid. I'll forgive you whatever needs to be forgiven. I just want you to be faithful. And that's the plea to us as New Testament Christians, is I have paid the price for you. I've purchased the church with my own blood. You have become Christian. I have brought you into this relationship. The one request is be faithful. Don't cheat on me. You know how we don't cheat on God? If we're thankful for what he's done. I suggest to you, if you're thankful for what God has done, you will not cheat on God. If you keep that at the forefront of your mind, and you do not forget it, and you keep that in your mind each and every day, the thankfulness for what God has done, you won't cheat on God. You know what happens? Is as that idea gets more distant from our mind, the more likelihood we are to be unfaithful, just as Gomer. As she thought less and less of Hosea and what Hosea was doing for her, that was when she was likely to cheat. The children of Israel, when they thought God was doing nothing for them, that's when they cheated. When we think that God's doing nothing for us, when we think God hasn't done anything for us, that is when we're most likely to cheat. Are you thankful for God and his blessings? In Psalm 68, verse 19, it says, blessed be the Lord who daily loads us up with benefits, the God of our salvation. You know, there's so much there. A lot of times when you sign up for a job, you sign up for a job and you look at what? The benefits. You know what God does? He daily loads us up with benefits. Spiritual and physical. You know, a lot of jobs you get paid every week, or maybe once a month, or a couple times a month. You think about that. God daily loads us up with benefits. I've said it before, whenever I went to my grandma's house, she would just load me up so I couldn't carry anymore. I would go to her house and I'd be leaving, it's like I was leaving the store. She's like, oh, take these peppermints, take this. She was loading me up. God loads us up each and every day. He loads us up with benefits. How can we not be thankful? How can we not express our thanks and our love and our appreciation for God who bought us when we shouldn't have been bought back? Who forgave us when perhaps, really, when we look at it, we take a step back, we shouldn't have been forgiven. Are you thankful for what God has done? God is so kind. In Romans chapter 2, verses 3 and 4, I'm going to read verse 4. Romans chapter 2 and verse 4, it says, or do you presume on the riches of his kindness and forbearance and patience, not knowing that the kindness is meant to lead you to repentance? The kindness of God is supposed to lead us to repentance. Well, what's repentance? It's change. Well, we know what God has done for us. We know that he died on the cross, sacrificed himself for us. You know what that should lead us to? That kindness, this grace and his mercy. You know what that should lead us to? To change our life. You know, we don't read any more about Hosea's and Gomer's relationship. I like to believe that she was faithful after that point. After she was bought back, after she was purchased, she was thankful for what was done. And she lived a faithful life. You think about that. You think about our relationship with God. Jesus did not die for us so that we would be cheating on him. In Titus chapter 2 and verse 11 says, for the grace of God has appeared, bringing salvation for all people, teaching us to renounce ungodliness, worldly passions, and live self-controlled, upright, godly lives in this present age. The grace of God, his forgiveness, his favor to us, him buying us when we shouldn't have been bought, that should teach us something. What should it teach us? To live a better life. Are you living a life that's worthy of being in a relationship with God? Are you zealous for good work, doing those things that you know you should? I've always found it interesting. Some of the most thankful people I've met in my life are people that have lost almost everything. Did you realize that you've lost it all spiritually? And Jesus is the one that gives you a chance. He gave us a chance that we don't deserve. And I think that's why when we look at the Apostle Paul and we look at these other individuals, how could they have joy all the time when they were going through everything? How could they have this upbeat mood? How could they do that? And I think they could do it because they kept in perspective that they could lose everything physically and still be blessed spiritually beyond measure. Because there's always something to be thankful for when you're a Christian. So when you lose perspective of that, we drift into unfaithfulness. Are you thankful to stay? Are you thankful for what he's done? Perhaps you need to become a New Testament Christian, or perhaps you need the prayers of the church. We would love to help you in any way that we can. Jesus is ready to buy you back. Will you do that? And will you stay faithful to him for the rest of your day? Perhaps you need to become a New Testament Christian, or you need the prayers of the church. We'd love to help you anyway. If you come, as we stand, as we sing.